This is The Hardline, the greatest show on earth.
Well, maybe just in St. Louis.
The Hardline with TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, John Hadley, Bob Ramsey, and who the hell else knows?
Hey, welcome into the Hardline 5-9 of the Fan, Kevin S. and 5-9 of the Fan.com. Thank you for hanging out with us today. TJ Moe, John Hadley, Bob Ramsey, and the future host of the 9 to Midnight show, Matt Rocchio. A lot of fun going on right here today. Hey, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Hope you guys all had a wonderful time. I experienced yesterday that there are many, many millions and millions and millions and probably trillions, Rock. I think trillions of people fly on Christmas Day. I had a full flight, the airport completely booked. My dad came to pick me up from the airport, and it was so packed, and it would have taken so long to get me at the pickup. He went to the drop-off, and I went upstairs, and he went and got me there because it was...
You beat the system.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, and so don't tell anybody from TSA or what was that called?
Well, yeah, I assure you, you didn't endure it, but having done so myself, what you don't realize is it still took your father an eternity just to get upstairs.
That one was pretty quick, actually, he said. He said he could drive right into it.
Not to wait outside to get in.
That's what he said.
Making a left to get in, yes. But waiting to make that left-hand turn, I guarantee you he waited for an turn.
Maybe that's true, yeah.
He which terminal? One or two? East or west?
It was southwest.
So that's different.
Yeah. It's,
you zip up there.
I don't know what they're doing.
I'm with you.
On southwest?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Southwest
that's easy.
Is typically quicker than the other one.
No. The terminal.
Yeah.
Has become a nightmare.
Oh, is it?
Has become a... Because a lot of times during the week, they'll have one lane blocked.
Oh, I almost always drive myself, so I don't experience that like you're saying.
So
my family, we're not they're not dropping me off. You're leaving? See ya.
I often have a driver, so
yeah, usually my driver will.
Yeah, but Solomon was busy last time. Hey,
it's Christmas. He's not working.
We for Christmas, my niece is 4. She's getting ready to be 5. She's obsessed with unicorns. It's just the greatest thing in the planet to her. And her and Eric Messersmith is the craziest thing. They love these unicorns. And so we got her a unicorn poster, which she didn't really understand. She's like, how do you play with that? So we also got her a unicorn like pillow that has like a little zip up where you can put the blanket inside, right? And so it's a whole little thing. She's like, first thing she says, she's like, it's fat. So moral of the story is, and Rock knows this about me and anybody that's done the show with me, I have a full family of fat shamers, and we start them early at 4.5 years old. We have a fat
scheme
4-year-old that looked at the unicorn and said, hey, lose some weight before I can play with you. So
nice.
There you go. I hope you guys all had a fun Christmas. Life was a lot of fun for you. Any fun stories before we get into talking? We'll probably let Rock talk NBA for an hour and a half.
Well, that was a pretty spectacular day for the NBA yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, not only some phenomenal stars, but some great games. It was that may have been the most enjoyable day of NBA basketball, Bob, I've ever witnessed.
I wish I'd have seen it.
Oh.
It was all Christmas, all family, all day, all night.
Man, really?
Can't beat that.
I tried to check in at the Diamond Head Classic for some college hoops. A couple of glimpses, but you really can't count it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you in the future, just FYI, should you want to, I offer people this, nieces, nephews, people like that. Here's 20. If you leave me alone, here's 30.
Oh, that's a deal.
And you'd be shocked how simple my life is on Christmas Day.
That's great.
Nobody bothers me. I sit there watching the TV. If I go like this, they immediately get quiet. Because for that extra $10, I told you, my family's half Italian, so the idea of Roman Catholics' birth control is sleep. So I have like 5,000 of them, you know.
Sometimes the sleep doesn't work.
Right. No. That's problematic. It's just, I should say, both of them sleepy.
Yeah.
You know.
Why do you think I exist?
But it's just that simple. It's just a
honey, I thought you were asleep. Yeah, well, sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
It's just, you know what?
And then here comes Matt Rocchio.
I did not wake you up. But no, I'm serious. It was a fun getting to watch the Bucks play, which is a fun team to watch, and obviously, maybe the best player on the planet.
Anthony Kumpo.
Yeah, I mean the way he's playing right now. Yeah. So what?
Rock, shut up.
Not a word, because don't you dare correct anyone's pronunciation, because I've seen your spelling. No.
I said Anthony DeCumpo, and you said Anthony DeCumpo.
Drop it.
Oh, big deal.
CBC would retract the diploma they gave you if they saw your spelling. Now.
Is retract the word he was looking for there? All right, keep going.
I'll punch you. Holidays are over with. Mr. Happy Time is done.
That's not true. We're right in the dead center of holidays.
Actually, we both failed. Yeah, I said that too. But that,
It's overdone. Over and done with. So I'm just saying the way he's playing right now, he may be the best player on the planet. He's not the best player, but he may be playing the best ball of anyone. Celtics, man, the idea of a 7-game Celtics-Sixers.
Pretty wild.
Playoff.
Be pretty wild.
Oh, my goodness. And then to watch the Lakers.
Jimmy Butler, to me, is so fun to watch. I know about all the baggage and all the issues and does he fit and all the things that go with him. But just simply taking all those things away, I'm going to sit down and watch a player play. He's fun to watch to me.
And he's one of those guys that you appreciate because in big games, he plays big game defense.
He does. I love that about him.
You know? So then you go on to... Well, prior to that, Oklahoma City-Houston was fun. Hmm. Watching that game, Westbrook, Harden go right down to the wire.
Yeah.
Then you have the Laker game, which was phenomenal.
Plus the drama to go with it with the injury.
LeBron's
like
out.
Seeing LeBron get hurt.
LeBron's out. Golden State comes back from a 17-point deficit to tie the game. And then you think, it's over with.
Yeah,
over
here they
with.
Come.
And the young Lakers just go on a tear. And it was fun watching Rondo be Rondo again.
Yeah.
It was like going back 10 years and watching Rondo.
Agreed.
Incredible.
I saw those highlights. Stuff.
Well, we will get into that in just a bit. What I would like to open with here is, first, I hope you all had a great Christmas. Secondly is this. That is the most fun bragging rights game since Marcus Denman was in school. That was unbelievably fun to watch. Start to finish, and Mizzou started out the way that we were afraid they would start out, and that is allowing what is not a great Illinois team, but I still think an underrated Illinois team, get them out of their game. Konzo Martin said it after the game. They get you, and they force you to win one-on-one battles. They get you out of your team offense. And so, what, it was like 4 turnovers in the first few minutes, throwing the ball all over the place. You're down like 12-3, and when they need to have it, Jordan Geist, who is the revelation of the season, 3 straight possessions, bam.
First couple of games of the year, you were not happy with him and were not sending a Christmas present.
Nope.
But then you did on Sunday. You said, I got to get it out to him.
I think Christmas cards are a total scam. But yes, if I sent Christmas cards, he would get one. And I don't have, there's a dog that lives in my house, and we still didn't take a Christmas picture and all that.
No,
it's because anyway.
You didn't do the thing and put the antlers on him and all that. You didn't do it.
Sure didn't. I don't have a Christmas reindeer dog. I sure don't. So, okay. Anyway, Jordan Geist, you're absolutely right. It's the revelation of the season. He last year averaged 7 points a game, and he was the guy that, when you needed somebody to take control, did the exact opposite. He would try to take control, and he was still fearless, but he'd miss the shot, and he'd throw it out of bounds, and he'd let himself get trapped, and he would be the guy that couldn't get open for the
effort was there, but execution was lacking.
Absolutely right. And last year, they really didn't have that guy. There's an interesting dichotomy between last year's team and this year's team. Last year's team, there was no calming presence outside of Cassius Robertson, who never should have been that guy. He was just the grad transfer who was the old guy who could hit shots, but he really didn't have a good handle, and he was just good enough, which is why you saw at the end of a lot of games last year a whole bunch of turnovers and a group that had to squeeze out a lot of wins that shouldn't have been as scary as they were. This year, Jordan Geist actually is that guy, which is interesting. And this year, I think this team is about 65% as talented as last year's team. Last year's team won with talent and not a whole lot of polished skill. This team is winning with polished skill and tenacity on defense. And like I said, about 35% less talent than they had last year.
I'm not sure. There was a veteran sportscaster on the air about a month ago saying, don't sleep on Missouri Tigers. They're going to figure it out. Do you remember who that was? I can't.
Well, it wasn't John. Rock, he didn't show up for the
Rock, do you remember? There been
I wouldn't call myself a veteran, but.
No, it wasn't you. No, that's wrong. First choice was wrong. I told you, though.
You did. You absolutely did.
If you recall, it was a very old.
Oh, decrepit even.
Mm-hmm.
Physically and mentally infirm.
Is it coming back to you, Rock?
Now we know.
Who may or may not be in big trouble with his wife.
Oh,
the
yeah.
trouble's brewing.
The trouble
All
is
right.
brewing.
Yeah, trouble is brewing. Can't Put a deposit
that.
Down.
Take a video of that. Take a video of that. And then tell her you just rented it and buy yourself a little more time.
I even thought this is... Let's get back to that.
Right.
Get back to my troubles okay. after we talk hoops.
So I think you nailed it. I think if this is who they are, and it remains to be seen because the SEC is down this year compared to last year. The SEC reverted back to the mean here. The SEC has 4 to 5 good teams.
I think they're a big-time version of my Atlantic 10, who's mid-major, in that the top, I think, is pretty good,
yeah.
but the bottoms is not very good.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And I think Missouri is going to prove before it's all over they deserve to be in the top tier. Not in the top one or two, not win the conference, but in that top tier of teams.
I think that's fair. You look at who they are, it's very muddled. You know... Tennessee, I think, is a legitimate top five team.
They're studs.
I mean, legit. You saw the run they made last year, but even in the SEC, like...
They're studs.
So Schofield fouled out. They've had some ref issues this year.
And here's the other thing, and they got into it with Anthony Hardaway and his Memphis Tigers. They've got a nastiness to them that will go a long way for them, too.
I
don't necessarily love to see teams, especially if I'm playing against them, to play that way. And maybe I broadcast for one of those teams before it's all said and done, mm-hmm. that the looser the game is called, the better it is for them.
Yeah.
But I think it will serve Tennessee well.
I think you're exactly right. And I love Rick Barnes, always have.
His resume is unbelievable.
Coach. And he, I think, he allows his players to participate in that kind of environment where a lot of coaches will try to call off the dogs. He is staying on the sidelines screaming, sick 'em. So that really works.
I agree.
It's really a four-team conference, and then that's the top tier. I think Missouri's probably a second tier, but they may be fifth by the time it's all said and done. Mississippi State is really good. We know Tennessee. I think Tennessee is a legit top five team. Auburn is very good. Kentucky, it looked like early, may not be that good, but after their big win against North Carolina, they have the talent. We knew they had the talent. Seems like they're developing. That's a good team. After that, though, like LSU's okay. Alabama's okay. Arkansas's okay. Like, this is the tier you're talking about. Florida's fine. And then you're getting into bad teams. Vanderbilt, without their future lottery pick, he's out for the year. Ole Miss, not good. Georgia, not good. Texas A&M, not good. South Carolina, flat bad. Right? You got a bunch of bad teams in this conference. So Missouri, they're going to end their non-conference 9-3. And you get into a place then where, all right, you get up close to 20 wins here. That is an NCAA tournament type team. And nobody, except for Bob Ramsey, thought when Jontay Porter went down that they had any chance of being a tournament team. And I think today, because of they were able to handle business against Illinois and Xavier specifically, going 2-0 this past week puts them in position to be a fringe tournament team, which makes this season a hell of a run for Konzo Martin.
Here's where they are right now. And that is, most of the metrics have them somewhere between 60 and 80 in the metrics. So they've got to have that. They got to bump that up.
Right.
But playing against Mississippi State, Tennessee, Auburn, Kentucky, LSU, Ole Miss, if they can hold their own, if they win half the games against that top group you're talking about,
yep.
that will catapult them into that top 50.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they'll have an edge over my Billikens, who, as I said, kind of that their league's kind of a mid-major version. We could run the table and still not maybe climb as high because the opportunities won't be there like the opportunities will be there for Mizzou. I don't know if Mizzou will sweep them, split with them, lose to them all. You know, I can't predict the future, but I do know factually that the opportunity is there for the Tigers.
Yeah, and going in, because the top of the league is... You know, over the years, you've had Kentucky and Florida be very good, and then there will be a one-off team here and there. But this year, I think you have four strong teams. Kentucky.
No question.
That you really do. So you're not expected to win any of those. And so you can lose four and probably not drop much in those metrics you're talking about. Well, you lost to a top five team. Okay.
Right.
Then that's fine. And you're to a place now where you pull off an upset. It is very little risk, very high reward when you play at Tennessee this year. And that's a lot of fun to be in. And when you have it, this is the Konzo Martin template. this is a group where he's going to have better talent. Now, it sure looks like he found some in Xavier Pinson and Jabbar Pickett. But he's going to have better talent. He can always recruit. But typically who they are is a group of guys who flat get after it on defense and find their way on offense. And that's kind of what you're seeing today. Tillman is finding out how to play with fouls. Like, he was actually setting picks with multiple fouls. If you've watched him play over the last 2 years, he either, one, sets a moving screen every time he tries to get somebody open, or two, they say, stop setting picks, all you do is foul. Against Illinois, he's got multiple fouls, and he's out there setting screens like crazy. He's blocking shots. He's actually developing into
it. He's learning how to do it, right.
A couple of fun stats here. Last year, he fouled out a lot, right? Last year, he fouled out 9 out of his 33 games, and he had at least 4 fouls in 19 out of his 33. He's fouled out of 3 out of 11 this year, so he's on the same pace he was last year with the foul outs. And he's had the better one. He's 5 out of 11. So less than half of his games, he's playing with 4 fouls. And if you're watching the games, he's playing substantially more aggressive and smarter when he is in foul trouble, which makes him efficient and not just knocked out of the game when you get 2 or 3 in the first
half.
Quick
point. In the future, go straight to your best stat. Back to you, Bob.
That was my best stat.
You said at the end, oh, and this is the best one. Go right to the best one.
Okay. That was all the same stat. So we do have some sound here, actually, from our guy Q does a really good job here. So. Rock, are you all queued up here? Thank you. So this is Konzo Martin on beating the arch rival Illinois Fighting Illini for the Bragging Rights title, finally after 6 years.
Great game. Happy for our guys, happy for our fans. It's just a great game, tremendous atmosphere. Now that we won it, I can be honest, had a miserable Christmas last year. I mean, just, you know, this is a tough game because somebody has to lose.
I love that he admitted that. That was my favorite thing to come out of this game after the win. He came out because he's an East St. Louis guy, right? He's mm-hmm. a guy that's right there on the border.
Right.
And do you remember the other team that was really trying to get Konzo Martin? It was Illinois before they went and got Brad Underwood.
Yeah.
So this rivalry means a lot to him. And there were three dudes in a starting lineup that had ties to Illinois, either having committed to them, signed with them, or put their uniform on Mark Smith. So that mattered to a lot of those guys. I love that. That's what added something to the rivalry. Missouri right now is in this position of rivalries either not existing or not being any fun. The Illinois rivalry has not been any fun for half a decade. In football, you don't have a rivalry. Everybody's trying to make Arkansas this thing that it's not. Arkansas sucks and or it's not a rivalry, right? Kansas isn't there anymore. Bragging rights, that is the most fun rivalry game we've seen in half a decade here. So,
well, no, I'm just saying, because for a couple years I said the Illinois game's not going to make or break Missouri season. That getting to the tournament, faring well in conference play, that's going to determine whether it was a successful season. So I'm not going to jump up and down just because they finally beat Illinois, because then that would be hypocritical. So was I very pleased with the way the game went? Yes, I was. Is it a nice win for Martin? Absolutely it is. Is it an important one? Yeah, you got to get the monkey off your back. But do I think, in the truest sense, that this is the end-all, be-all? No, because in the conference that Missouri plays in, if they have a competent team, they should be able to compete for a tourney spot.
I think that's absolutely right. The reason I went on my little rant just a second ago was this.
You'd like to annoy me.
I think that aside from that and beyond that and to add to that, is I think rivalry games can be their own type of bowl game fun. You can treat them singularly outside of the – I think big picture, you nailed it. I think it's just one, you know, it's a little bit – but you can go into the Bragging Rights game saying, okay, this game is really important. Even if it doesn't have a huge impact on the overall outcome of the season, this game is important and a lot of fun and it means a little bit more to everybody. And we've been missing that at Missouri now for, like I said, basically since you left the Big 12.
And outside of the narrative parts about, you know, is this an important game, I thought that was an important game because that was the first time where I really felt like the definitive roles on this team are coming into light, which is your 1 and 2 is Pinson and Pickett, and then Geist is your energy off the bench. That's the best plan. Or if you can swing it defensively, you have a 3-guard setup where guys essentially slots in as the nominal three.
Right.
And that's the big thing with this team. And heck, that's kind of the storyline with both the basketball teams we're going to be talking about on this show a lot, which is SLU and Mizzou, which is where are the roles in defining those kind of things. I think and the rotation and those kind of things. And I think that game was a big step towards that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think thus far in the season, SLU has their roles far more defined than I think Missouri did, because the SLU players are substantially more developed, at least their guards, than Missouri. Missouri, like, you rolled out your guards and you're like, all right, hope something sticks. Xavier Pinson, please, like the Gabe DeArmond tweet, I don't know if Xavier Pinson has actually ever looked at a guy he was passing to, right? He either makes an unbelievable no-look pass or he throws it out of bounds. He does it a lot. And you had no idea if he was going to be good. This is who I hope. Last year when we signed him, I watched his highlights. I said, okay, this is a kid. I really like the kid. And then a lot of people backed off on that because he had some, whatever it was, personal issues where he missed a bunch of the preseason. They said, all right, well, typically those guys don't come in and make a lot of noise for you. He's starting to be that guy. Javon Pickett's playing 25 minutes a game as a freshman. That matters a lot. You had no, like, these are guys, you have no idea what you're going to get. You always hope, and in basketball it works a lot better to roll out the freshmen, but you never know what you're going to get. And we've seen years where it doesn't work that way, and the freshmen are garbage, and then what do? Because if you're rolling with Kevin Puryear 37 minutes a night, you are screwed. Now, Kevin Puryear's been good for you. He hit both of his threes against Illinois, and he didn't have his best game, but he's been a guy that hits shots when you need him, and he's been solid. There's enough on this team to really do some damage. And I think, to Rock's point, if they do settle into who they are and have roles, this is the type of team who gets a lot better by doing that. Because last year, you could play positionless basketball. Everybody goes and does whatever they want. Cassius Robertson will make some threes, and you'll be in it at the end of the game. That is not this year's team. You need to find roles, and it's a group of guys. If they get that, you'll be in it at the end, and you're just going to make a shot.
Now, the one role they still do not have defined is inbounds passer who doesn't turn it over half the time. That's one role they're still looking for on the team. I'm not holding my breath.
Unfortunately, we cannot blame that on Jontay Porter's injury, because he was the worst of the group.
Yes.
That is the one place you may have actually gotten better when he got hurt.
Dimes from the elbow, turnovers from the baseline. It made no sense.
Yeah. I told you guys this. I was talking to Konzo Martin at a golf tournament this offseason. Mm-hmm. I said, dude, somebody was I was talking to guys. They're like, man, is there anything Jontay Porter can't do? I said, yeah, have you watched the game? He can't inbound the ball worth a crap. He's terrible. Okay, so here is Konzo Martin on Mark Smith playing.
That's all he said to you the whole time?
After transferring from Illinois.
No.
I could only imagine how difficult it was for him to play in a game like this, because his emotions, you're on one side of it, now you're on the other side, but it goes with the territory, but I thought he did a great job.
I said I was talking to him. I didn't say he was talking to me.
Oh, gotcha.
Mark Smith, by the way, got some serious boos coming out, as he should have, and I love that. That just adds fuel to fire. And there are a few stats that really are telling you that how Missouri's going to be 9-3 after they beat Morehead State. John, you can go ahead and silence your phone. That'd be fine. And
we're not. Go ahead.
This is one of them. Mark
Smith.
Breaking
news.
Is shooting 46% from three. He shot 23% for Illinois last year. No wonder they're booing. You sucked for us.
Yeah.
You were horrible. Where'd this come from? If it had been the other way, he wouldn't have got any boos. Everybody would have felt bad for him.
Right.
Well, yeah, I guess we unloaded some dead weight.
Yeah, they would have said, oh, poor guy. Man, right. Glad he's not here. I mean, but it was the other way around.
By the way, if you want to talk about that really quickly, this is not a statistical thing you see almost ever in basketball. He went from taking 2.2 shots per game and shooting it at a 23% clip to shooting 5.1 per game and shooting it at a 46%
clip. Shooter's got to shoot.
Yep. That is the most. He doubled his attempts amount, more than that, and also doubled his rate almost.
Yep.
That is unbelievable.
It truly is unbelievable. And here's the real stat that I can't believe we're saying after Cassius Robertson and Jontay Porter are no longer on this team. The team is shooting 39.8% from the three-point line. As a team, that is the ultimate equalizer. That is why Steph Curry and Davidson can make a run in the tournament.
Yeah.
Right? Who is Davidson? That is, when you think of Davidson, you think of David and Goliath. That's the truth, because this is little David nailing threes from 40 feet.
And some people want to point out that there would seem to be, if you look at the players on this roster and their previous percentages, there's going to be some statistical regression. But honestly, this is exactly the kind of team, considering the Jontay Porter injury and Bob's comments consistently about how they lost an NBA player, where your expectations really going to be. I'm okay if their shooting screws them out of a few games. If it's because I think it's the only chance they have at being more than an NIT team this season. So I'm okay with just rolling the dice and playing with this. They're almost shooting 40% from deep thing, as long as it goes. And if it does dry up, so be it.
Yeah, the only
numbers say it will.
I agree with everything you just said. The only time I would ever go away from that is if the referees prove to you early in the game that they're going to let Jeremiah Tillman play and then feed the hell out of him.
He is
an old school big man. Jeremiah Tillman may not be an NBA guy because he doesn't have like 3-point range. He's never going to be an outside type shooter. It's tough to have a true five in today's game. But what he does do is play like Dennis Rodman in 1990. And he's a guy that will throw an elbow right into your nose and try to dunk it on your face and stand over you. That's the type of game that he plays. So if they let you play under the rim, feed him all night, because he will get everybody else to foul out and he'll be the one with 25 points and 10 rebounds. Okay, speaking of Jeremiah Tillman, we do have some sound from him. This is Jeremiah Tillman on after the win over Illinois.
It means a lot because, like you said, we lost five straight. I mean, this year we got the W. That's all we can ask for. I mean, it was a good game. It was an aggressive game. That's what we like, though. So that's what made it fun and competitive.
Jeremiah Tillman, by the way, was not feeling well. Here's what he had to say about that.
While we was warming up, I just felt like I was under the weather, but I mean, I knew I needed to play, so I just was challenging myself, like he said, and I knew that my team needed me there for me. I knew my team needed me there, so I mean, I wasn't finna just like not play, knowing I can still go out there and fight.
Yeah, hell, you just say?
God dang it, John. TJ was gonna be the one to comment on him saying finna, and I wanted TJ to walk himself right into that and. Then John took that.
I wasn't finna to do that, Rock. So I love Jeremiah Tillman. I think he is one of the – like, there are a few guys that you play with. There are guys that you love going to battle with, you know, but they're not always necessarily the best personality kids. And then there are guys who make the game fun, and that is Jeremiah Tillman. He walks around with a smile. He's just a little bit goofy, but he's also got that tenacious attitude. I love the kid. I think he is so good for Missouri basketball. It gives you some personality, and he may even learn how to speak English before we graduate.
That's the precarious part, though, because when he gets those rough fouls where it's like, oh, come on, how are you going to call this? Those ticky-tacky, like those ones on the illegal pick fouls or something like that, you never know if he's going to react goofy or tenaciously.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, because sometimes he flies off the handle and you're like, this is only, and we get it, but we need you later on.
Right.
And there's sometimes where he's really good about just laughing it off,
man,
and moving on to the next play.
I do love that kid. He is great. And I think he adds to, I think Jordan Geist is the opposite. He's like the go-to-battle guy, but doesn't seem like a big personality, ha-ha, make anybody laugh. And you need both of those guys a lot in order to make it fun, because I think somebody's got to be there sometimes to get goofy Jeremiah Tillman to get ready to go to battle, and there's some guys to tell Jordan Geist that, hey, this is a game. Nobody has died in these first 20 minutes of the game. Everything's going to be fine, bud. Why don't you chill?
His dribbling would belie his calm attitude, I think. Sometimes his dribbling gets a little spastic in big moments, but he does seem to be kind of a nice, calm, consistent factor this season, and that's honestly not something I never thought I was going to say about Jordan Geist. So I'm just happy for the kid.
Rammers, this look like a team that can go 500 in SEC play?
Oh, they'll do better than that.
No?
Yeah, because we already established the bottom.
And we did.
You'll win almost all of those games, and then so the key for them is how they do against the top four or five.
What? There's 16 SEC games, I think. I think that's right.
I'm an A-10 guy. I don't know.
Okay.
There are.
All right.
So we have 18. So.
Right. Okay. All right. So if there's 16 SEC games, which Rock is double checking right now, then if you're sitting at 8, 17 wins doesn't get you in the tournament. But if you're sitting at 10, 19 is darn close. You sit at 20, you're probably in.
Well, in the old days, for sure, it really is going to depend on what you do with the, and how they look at the metrics.
You.
17?
Really?
That's an odd number.
That is strange.
Literally.
Yeah, it is. Odd.
I know my math.
Yes, you do.
Well, that's about it. That's as far as I go with it. Even odds.
18. Yes.
Yeah, because you play each team in your other division, 6-7 once, and then you play twice in your own division. So, Get over it. You missed one team. It is what it is.
What's he talking about?
Far out.
That's all I'm saying,
dude.
That's it.
Now we had a Douglas fir at our house. What kind of tree did you have? And it had buds on it?
Oh, it had a lot of buds.
Okay.
A lot of buds.
It'd be 12, and then you got 18. Okay, so you missed one. Okay.
I'm trying to figure out which one Mizzou misses. You got Tennessee, South Carolina.
Well, John figures that out. By the way, your thoughts are welcome on all this. 855-282-8255. Go ahead, Rock. Okay.
Never mind. Sorry, I thought they didn't play LSU, but that's because it's listed as Louisiana State, not LSU.
I don't look. It appears they're not playing Mississippi State.
Oh, that's a good one to miss.
They'll play them.
No way, yeah.
You got to play everybody at least once.
Yeah, they're at Mississippi State on February 26th.
You ever been to Hattie?
I was talking about through the end of the year, Starkville. Rock.
Oh, at the end of the year. Okay.
So if they play everybody once, who aren't they playing on their own side twice then?
They don't have divisions. I don't believe.
Wait, no, John, no. They don't play any SEC teams in 2018. The first SEC game is literally in 2019.
January 8th, Tennessee, and you got
to
wait.
He tried to get me on that one.
Look at Rock. Look at Rock. I got him, and I'm not going to relent. I'm going to go out on that branch, and even if it costs me my job,
oh God,
I am going to be the male Norman Ray. Go ahead, sorry.
And he's still confused that LSU is actually Louisiana State.
I was looking for the abbreviations. They don't do it that way.
Who calls LSU Louisiana State?
I don't know, everyone. Hey, Rammer, do you want to tell us about our friends over at Royal Banks?
Royal Banks of Missouri, of course, big sponsor of all the teams in town, Mizzou, SLU, Little League teams, all those sorts of things. They're part of the community. In fact, even though they have 11 locations now in St. Louis, they feel like they are your neighborhood bank, and that's what they want to do, be your neighborhood bank. They're full service, of course. And I mentioned sports teams. Well, along with the smaller teams, did you know when as the Blues begin construction and have begun construction on the new practice facility, that Royal Banks was key in getting the financing done there? So big the little, Royal Banks is always there. What does that mean to you, the individual? Well, not so much, except that community angle. And they're always there for you, though, the individual. Right now, they have a suite of checking accounts that allow you to choose your free reward. You get to choose. And don't forget about the lending department there. As you know, with the lending department, commercial or personal, for instance, the commercial lending, they're there, small business. They're willing to work with you. And I know personally their lending department is fantastic. So all you have to do to go online, royalbanksofmo.com, royalbanksofmo.com, and you'll see all the ways Royal Banks can be a partner with you. Royal Banks of Missouri, where better service means better banking. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
And by the way, they now offer the person-to-person payments through the app, which is very easy and nice if you have family living out of state or want to send grandkids some money. It's very cool. Very cool.
I like that. We love our friends.
State of the art.
That's what they do.
Are we
done talking to Tigers? Because you're really starting to bore me.
We are, and I was trying to avoid having to discuss a Florida State team that could not miss, and we want to get into that.
We would take a break first?
Yeah.
We were sitting there wondering whether or not Rammer had the over in the game. He's down the stretch. Down the stretch. It's like, Florida State for three. Bang! 119-102 Florida State! I'm like, hey, did Rammer have a little overreaction happening?
You got to do what you got to do. Hey, it's not personal. It's just business.
It is just business.
Right. That's right. That's right, and that's how he can afford to be here, because he was nailing the over. There it is. We're going to take a break. We'll come back talking to SLU basketball and what was probably a good learning experience for the boys. So we'll be back in a bit. It's Hardline.